Today's shiur begins, of course, at the point that we left off. However, the point that we left off with last time was in the middle of a discussion. We are seeking a source for Ula's tree nutrition dimensions. Ula had said that a tree derives its nutrition in a distance of 16 amas in all directions around the tree. The square area of tree nutrition, according to Ula, would really measure an area of 32 by 32, 1,024 square amma area. From where does Ula derive that shi'ur, that dimension? The Gemara, therefore, on the bottom of Chof Vav Amud Beis, in Maseches Bava Basra, two lines from the bottom, we continue with the series of attempts, as are noted by the double underline. V'ela midisnan, from the following source, Shlosha Ilonos shel Shlosha b'nei Adam. This source again deals with halachas of shvius. Part of halachas of shvius, as we mentioned last time, state that one has to cease agricultural activity before the Shemitah year. It's called Tosefes Shvius. What times, what has to stop for what, those are part of a list of details, which we're not going to get into now. However, what is of interest to us is the halacha concerning a tree field. A field of trees. A field of trees is allowed to be plowed Erev Shvius up till Shvuos. What determines an area to be called a tree field? It depends on the number of trees and the area in which they're found. An isolated tree in a large open area is not called a tree field. And as such, the halachas that concern plowing will be very different than the halachas concerning a tree field. So if you have three trees owned by some individual in an area of a basaw, that's called a tree field, and you're allowed to plow the entire field up till the holiday of Shavuos before Shemitah. However, if a person owns a singular tree, then he's allowed to plow only the area that's immediately around the tree, under its branches, possibly a little bit more. The term that's used in the halacha for that is tachto v'chutzalo kemlo eru v'salo. The Gemara is not going to use that expression, but you find that in Rashi. However, that allowance is much different. It's much more restricted than the allowance to plow an entire field of trees. With that having been said, we see the Gemara midisnan, the source shloisha ilonos shel shloisha b'nei Adam. Three trees belonging to three separate people, three different people. Hare elu mitstarfin. Even though they're under separate ownerships, they can join up to form a halachic tree field. The Horshin Kol base Sa'a b'shvilan, and therefore you're allowed to plow the entire base Sa'a area. Base Sa'a is a dimension measuring 50 by 50 amas. If the trees wouldn't mitstarif, so then we would say you can only plow and till the area around the tree, under its branches, and a little bit more, but that's it. Since these trees are mitstarif to form a field of trees, you have a right to plow the entire base saw until Shavuos. That's like the din associated with a state ilan. As we've said in the past, we're not concentrating right now on halachas of Shemitah. But what we are interested in are the dimensions. Kama hava lehu. What is the area of a base saw? Answer, trei alfi hei mea garmidi. 2,500 square amas. How many trees did we mention? Three. Rechol chad kama motile, how much is allowed per tree? So you had an area of 2,500, divide it by 3, and you come out with 833 and a third. Tamni mea v'talsin utlosa v'tilsa. So the area of nutrition based on this source per tree would be 833 and a third. What are we trying to do in our sugya? We're trying to find a source for ula. What did ula say the dimension, the area of tree nutrition was? 1024. He said 1024 because he had a dimension of 32 by 32. The Gemara says, Akati nefishi lei de ula. Namely, nefishi means greater. That of ula is still greater than this dimension of 833 and a third. So the Gemara tries to answer and say, lo dok. Okay, you know, ula was not being precise. Gemara says, Amur diamrina lo dok l'chumra. The concept of stating a dimension and then saying the stated dimension was not precise is in fact a legitimate thing to do, to state imprecise dimensions, if the result of that imprecise results in a stringency in halacha. The Gemara says, Lekula lo dok mi amrinan, but where the result of giving the imprecise dimension is one of leniency, we wouldn't say lo dok, he was being imprecise. How does that translate into practical halacha for us? What was Ula's halacha? Ula's halacha was that if you have this 16 amma proximity to the next field, or the 1024 square area figure, you do not have to bring bikurim. You're potter, you're exempted from bringing bikurim. That's a leniency, to be exempt from. Hence, Ula would not tell us some type of dimension that results in such a leniency. Therefore, we have to go back to the drawing board and try to discover what is the source of Ula's halacha. The Gemara goes on. Mi sabris beribua kuamrinan? Who says that when Ula gave us his 16 amo distance or length for tree nutrition, that he was talking about an area that's measured as a square, namely a square, the square area of a square? That's what we had said up till this point. The 1024 was by taking the 32 by 32 and calculating the square area. Rather, the igulo koamrinon. The calculations we should be making are calculations for the area of a circle with a radius of 16. A circle with a radius of 16 is going to be less than a square side 32. Restated, a circle with a diameter of 32, because the radius of 16 means there's a diameter of 32, a circle with a diameter of 32 will be less, the square area, the area measure of such a circle will be less than the square area of a square side 32. How much less? Let's see the Gemara. Michti. Kama meruba yoser al ha'igul. Square whose side is the same dimension as the circle's diameter, how much greater is the square than such an inscribed circle? Revia. The difference between the two is a quarter. We've noted on the side of the Gemara the following calculation. What we're suggesting is take the area that was mentioned before of 1024, which was the square area formed by a square sides 32 by 32. Take 3/4 of that. 3/4 of 1024 results in a circle whose area is 768. We've noted as well on the side, in anticipation of the oncoming Gemara, that by next to the double asterisk, we've noted the following: Koiter shel igul sheshitcho 768. That means the diameter of a circle whose area is 768. Right? The diameter of that is havi 32. V'hainu de'ula. Koter shel igul sheshitcho 833. We had that dimension mentioned concerning the three trees in a beisa. The diameter of that type of circle is 33. In other words, is the distance of nutrition. We can restate that 16.5 in one direction, a tree whose radius or a root system whose distance is 16.5 amas. That's the distance through which such a tree derives its nutrition. If we accept the idea for a moment that nutrition gained by encroaching onto someone else's property is considered gazlonus, is considered thievery, so we ask the following, and as a result, you don't have to bring bikurim. For what distance would you not have to bring bikurim? For a distance, a root system whose length is 16.5, namely, if a tree is 16.5 amas, let's say within 16.5 amas of the neighbor, he would not bring bikurim. According to Ula, if it's within 16.5 amas, namely, it's more than 16 amas away from the neighbor's field, it's 16.25 amas, according to Ula, would he bring bikurim? Yes. According to letter of the law, does he have to bring bikurim? No. So Ula, in effect, is giving us a stringency. What we've just said is going to be found in the Gemara. So let's see how the Gemara plays it out. After having stated that the area of the trees of Ula is 768, and we also said that the diameter formed by such a circle is 32, Akati Pash Le Palgo Di Amsa, there still remains a half an amma all around the tree. This is as a result of the actual area associated with the tree as being 833 1/3 amas. So there's inaccuracy. However, that really doesn't disturb us. Hainu delo dok ulechumra lo dok. The idea of Ula being 16 amas of radius, and the idea of the actual radius being 16.5, true, it's inaccurate, but the result of this inaccuracy of Ula is that if a tree is more than 16 amas, even if it's within 16.5 amas, But as long as it's more than 16 amas from the border of the next fellow, he will, yes, bring bikurim. Even though, if it, according to letter of the law, if it's 16 amas and a mashihu up till 6.5, he still doesn't bring bikurim. Ula, therefore, is a chumrah. Going on in the Gemara, we notice the triangles. We introduced them earlier, but we'll review the point by looking at the comment on the side under the Mivneh heading. Triangles, as well as all other geometric forms you find in this Shas Ozer pre-Mark Gemara edition that many of you are viewing on your screens. Others have ordered their own texts in book form. Notice the geometric forms indicating a series or something of a repetitive nature, something whereby one who's learning the Gemara with this should scan the page and try to see, or eventually see, an association between the different comments that feature the same form. The Mivneh on the outside of the page explains the role of these forms. The triangles are kushyos al ula. They're questions on ula's din. Me hamakoros sheyuva'u ba'gemara, from sources that will be brought in the Gemara, royim, we will see the afilu imo ilon koroiv ma'oid l'stei chavero mevi bikurim v'korei. The fact that it's very close to the neighbor's field and it's clearly encroaching on his property and clearly absorbing nutrition from the neighbor, that doesn't affect this halacha. And bring the bikurim and read the accompanying parsha in the Beis Hamikdash. Let's see the questions. Ta shma, hakoina ilan v'karkoi. Person purchases a tree and the ground under it. Mevi v'korei, he brings bikurim and reads the parsha. My lav, kolshu. Are we not talking about a case where the distance is of a minor nature? It's a kolshu. Namely, he has the area under the tree, and that's it. The area beyond that belongs to someone else. Belongs to someone else, so it therefore entails encroaching on someone else's property, and it doesn't seem to stop this source from saying mevi v'korei. No. Understanding this source with the ground under the tree as being just a kolshu, a minuscule amount of area, is not correct. Rather, it's tes zayin amah. It's rather 16 amas. Okay, so that's already legitimate. Having a tree and purchasing the ground with a all around the tree, 16 amas all around the tree, belonging to a private individual, bring bikurim. Why not? Because there's no reason not to. The nutrition the tree is deriving is part of property that the tree owner owns. Toshma. Kono shnei ilonos b'soich sho chaveroi mevi v'enoi korei. Ha shloisha mevi v'korei. My love, kol shehu. The source itself that was in a frame states that a person who bought two trees in someone else's field, he does not bring bikurim, because having two trees is not considered a tree field, and you don't get the karka along with the two trees. When you buy two trees, you bought the trees, but you don't get the karka. And therefore, you will bring the bikurim, but you don't read the parsha, because you can't say, Minu Adoma Asher Nosata Li. It's part of the parsha that you read during the bikurim ceremony. However, if you bought three trees, so the halacha says that you get the property, that you get the ground under the trees as well. How much ground? So the Gemara that we just read said, my lav kolshu, is it not just a kolshu of ground? So a fellow owns trees with just the area under the tree. The roots go way beyond that. The roots are absorbing nutrition from someone else's property. And yet it says, if he bought three, he brings the Bikurim and reads the Parsha. That's not like Ula. Ula said if trees are very close to someone else's property, you don't bring the Bikurim. Lo. Hochonami tezayin amos. Here too, the trees and the ground around them, when he purchased the trees, he purchased 16 amos of ground along with the tree. 16 amos around each tree. That is in conformity to Ula's ruling. Toshma, we try again. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Karka Kolshehu, Chayov, Bepeo, Uba Bikurim, the Kaisvin Olof Prusbol, Benikne Nimo Nechosim She'ein Lohem Achrayas. In the Shas Ozir edition, we feature marking the main point of Tanaic sources in order to focus the understanding. Very often, it's when learning a sugya, it's not essential to translate and dwell upon all of the elements. Of course, every element presented is significant, but they will be featured in their own time. Namely, in sugyas that deal with those topics. Here's a classical case. You have a source here. It has quite a bit of information in it. All we need to see from this source is that karka kolshehu, as you can see that's dashed underline, is chayev in bikurim. That having been said, we have a kasha on Ula. Ula said that you need to have 16 amas around the tree, owned by the tree owner, before he can bring Bikurim. This source says Bikurim are brought from someone who owns property and something growing on it. Even if it's a kolshehu of property, you still bring Bikurim. Even though the root system is going to extend out into someone else's property. The Gemara deflects the question. Hocha b'may askinon, the source that featured karka kolshehu is chayv and bikurim, is talking about bechiti. It's about wheat, not a tree. Daikonami, the kotoni, by careful reading, by precise reading, you in fact see this as being the answer, because it said kolshehu. It said a piece of ground that's of minuscular size. What grows on a piece of ground that's of minuscular size? A single grain of wheat. Fine. But wheat's one of the seven varieties that the land of Israel was blessed. And as such, it's chayev and bikurim. But as far as trees are concerned, this source has nothing to do with it. Hence, Ula remains intact. Shma mino. That was a sufficient proof that the source was talking about wheat. Toshma. We try again to question Ula. You notice the marking between the Gemara and the Tosis. You have a triangle, number 4, it's the fourth question, and also has a vertical dashed line. This indicates that all of these lines are part of this Toshma experience. Toshma, the following source is brought, Ilon Miktsoso Ba'oretz U'Miktsoso B'chutzlaretz. You have a tree that is partially in Eretz Yisrael, and the same tree is partially in Chutz Laretz. Things growing in Eretz Yisrael gain along with their growth in Eretz Yisrael numerous mitzvahs that are associated with agriculture. Tithes of all kinds. Masha'en Kein, as opposed to trees and agricultural products in Chutz Laretz, those halachas don't apply. So here's a tree that's half and half. The result being, Tevel v'chulin mu'rovin ze'bozeh, divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says that the produce of this tree is, in effect, a mixture of Tevel, which refers to fruits that require eventual tithing. So in their pre-tithe state, they're called Tevel. Tevel is characteristic of something that grows in Eretz Yisrael. That's the pre-tithe state of the produce. V'chulin, that's mutter material. Tevel, I didn't note, but Tevel is, I would like to say, obviously forbidden to eat until you tithe it. Chulin is permissible in consumption. That which grows in Chutz Laretz is chulin. Before we continue seeing Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, let us take a look at Rashi. Rashi is not very long, but is very significant. Rashi mu'uravin zeboseh she'ein soimchin al habreira. We're not going to rely on retroactive determination lechalkoi lechatzoyin, to split the tree and its produce, the loimar shelitzad ha'oretz, the fruit coming from the branches over Eretz Yisrael chayovin, v'shelitzad ha'chutz pturin, and that the branches overshadowing Chutz Laretz, those are exempt from the tithes. In other words, once again, Rebbe will not say that. The source continues, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Hagodel B'chiyuv Chayav, illustration 443, that which grows over Eretz Yisrael is Chayav in tithes, Hagodel B'ftur Potur, that which is growing over Chutz Laretz is exempt. Ad kan lo pligi ela. The more sovar yesh breira, umor sovar ein breira. As far as point of controversy here, one holds, namely Rav Shimon Gamliel would hold, yesh breira, that you can rely on this retroactive determination. In other words, the fruits that are growing over Eretz Yisrael are said to have received their nutrition from the Eretz Yisrael side of the tree. And the fruits growing over Chutz Laretz are said to have received their nutrition from the Chutz Laretz side. Rebbe doesn't accept that analysis. However, Avol, Godel Biftur, Divrei Hakol Potur. Let's say, as you can see in the illustrations, you have a tree whose entire root system is biftur, is in Chutz Laretz. Such a tree, everyone would agree, is exempt. Let's take a look at the Rashi across from here. Aval dekulei alma hagodol biftur potur, she'im hoyu kol shoroshav b'chutz laretz. If all of its roots were located primarily in Chutz Laretz, as opposed to a tree on the border, a tree whose trunk is in Chutz Laretz, is exempt, according to all deists. V'afilu oimed ho'ilon b'soich sheish esrei amo la'oretz. This is the key point. Even if the tree is within 16 amos of Eretz Yisrael, v'lo amrinon min ha'oretz yonak. Right? That's the point of the question. That's the main point. The Gemara continues and says that the case of the tree that's standing on the border is of a unique nature, where the issue of mixed nutrition, mixed namely Eretz Yisrael Chutz Laretz, is a non-issue. Hocho b'mayaskinon demafsik tsumimo. Illustration 444 base. The tree is positioned on the border, and under the border, at that point underground, is bedrock. The root system of the tree is split on one side of the bedrock and on the other side of the bedrock. If that be the case, so the root system that's on the Eretz Yisrael side is exclusively deriving nutrition from the Eretz Yisrael side alone. Because as you move toward Chutz Laaretz, you run into this bedrock. The nutrition doesn't penetrate that. If that be the case, then the division of the tree should be very obvious. Ihachi, my taime de Rebbe. If that be the case, why does Rebbe say that there's a mixture, that everything is mixed up? Why should that be? Answer. The Hadri Arvi. The tree, as it rises above ground, from the trunk upwards, is a singular unit, is one unit. It's not split above ground. It's one solid tree above ground. Ubaha komifligi. And with all of this in mind, we'll now state what's the point of controversy between Rebbe and Reb Shimon Leo. Mor sovar avira mevalbeil. Rebbe holds that even though underground it was considered like two separate entities, since above ground it grows as one, the air, so to speak, causes the mixing of nutrition. You can see that in the Rashi, Avira Mevalbel, Afalpi Shebesoicha Karka Kishne Ilonois, Hoyu Ulamalo Bo Avir Ha'olam Nase Echod, Misarvin Yoin Koisov. And we've dashed underlined that point in the Rashi. That's the key point. There's mixing of nutrition that takes place above ground. That's as far as Rebbe is concerned, and that resulted in the Tevel v'chulin u'roven zebozeb. Umar Sovar, Reb Shimon Leo, on the other hand, says, Hai l'chudei koi v'hai l'chudei koi. Just like underground it was split, that same division continues up through the tree into the branches and produces the fruits. The Gemara goes on, going back to the issue of distance, the 16 amah distance that roots travel and derive their nutrition, as stated by Ula, comes under question. The Shesh Esre amah Vesulo. Are you telling me that the tree's roots go for 16 amas and no more? V'hotnan marchiken es ho'ilin min abor chof hei amo. We've seen that before in our Mishnayos, that you distance a tree from a bor 25 amas, not 16. See, true root systems go 25. Amar Abaye, meizal tuvo azli. They do, in fact, travel more than 16. They travel a lot. They grow at great distances. However, akhushi lo makhushi elo ad sheshes re'amo. Tfei lo makhushi. Makhushi has to do with depletion of nutrients. So that though roots grow, we see they grow, the tree root systems grow more than 16 amas, but up till 16 amas, they deplete nutrition, they absorb nutrition, and deplete thereby the nutrition under that particular field. But more than that, the roots might grow, but they're not absorbing nutrition for the tree. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice another geometric form. For its explanation, we'll look at the comment on the outside of your page. The Nosei Mivne heading features the diamond. There's shtei deos be Rabbi Yochanan, two opinions within Rabbi Yochanan. It means later Chachamim stating what Rabbi Yochanan holds. Be ilon hasamuch lemeitzar chavero im meivi mimenu bikurim, regarding the topic of trees next to someone else's border. Does one bring bikurim? Ki also Ravdimi Omar. When Ravdimi came to Eretz Yisrael, he told us. Ravdimi actually traveled between Eretz Yisrael and Bovel. So he brought with him information from what he experienced in different places. So here it says, Ki also Ravdimi Omar. When he came, he told us the following. Bo minei Reish Lakish mi Rabbi Yochanan. that Reish Lakish had asked of Rabbi Yochanan Ilon Asamach Lemeitzar Besoch Tezayin Amo Mahu, a tree within 16 Amos of someone else's border, what's the din? Omar Le, and Rabbi Yochanan responds, Gazlon Hu V'ein Mevien Mimenu Bikurim. Ki Oso Rovin, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Echot Ilon Hasomuch Lemeitzar, Ve'echot Ilon Hanoite, whether it be a tree positioned next to the border, or it be a tree whose branches are overshadowing someone else's field, Mevi V'kure. The owner of the tree brings Bikurim and reads the Parsha. Notice the contrast between Ravin's version of Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Dimi's version. This contrast is featured by the dashed underline. By Rav Dimi, you notice, it said, Ein Mevien, and here it says, Mevi V'kore. And why is that? Why does Ravin have this allowance or provision that Bikurim are brought? When Eretz Yisrael was divided amongst the Jewish people at the time of Yeshua, it was done with an understanding, with conditions. Rashi across from here says, "Sha'almanas kein hinchu Yeshua, hisno mohem." He made a condition with them, "Shelo yakpidu al kach," that they should not object to this. That people who find roots of their neighbor's trees growing under their fields shouldn't object, and as such, there's no problem of gezel. Mishnah. To appreciate the Mishnah, one can glance at the illustrations found in the Pirush Chai, the book of illustrations that accompanies Maseches Bava Basra, authored by Rav Chaim Porush. Illustration 448. Ilon shehu noite lisode chaveroi. Koitzets melo hamardea she'al gabi hamachresha. One fellow owns the trees. The trees are overshadowing the neighbor's property. This neighbor is allowed to cut the branches of the tree to the height of a mardea. As you notice in the illustrations, the mardea is we'll refer to it as a stick. It's an implement that one uses when he's trying to motivate the animal, the ox, to plow. He hits the animal with this device called a mardea, and the mardea had a standard length, and that being so it's the mardea, as he raises it over his head with which to whip the animal, so that height, in other words, mardea length above your head as you bring the whip over your head, shouldn't get caught on the branches of the neighbor's tree. So you're allowed to remove the branches to that height. Illustration 449. Uvechorov uveshikma. These are trees that have thick branch work, and shade is not beneficial to plants growing in one's field. So I have a field, the neighbor's choruv or shikma tree is overshadowing my field. I'm allowed to cut the branches keneged hamishkolis. Keneged hamishkolis would mean all the way up to the top of the tree. A mishkolis is a plumb line that builders use to make sure walls are straight. So it means, for our purposes, straight up all of the branches that are above my field. Beis Hashlochin is an irrigation field whose water supply comes through irrigation as opposed to rain. Kol ha'ilon keneged hamashkoiles. All trees, even if they're not choruv u'shikma, you're allowed to remove the branches overshadowing your beis hashlochin. Abba Shol omer, kol ilon srak Keneged Hamishkolas. All non-fruit-bearing trees, straight up, tree branch removal. The Gemara wants to know, Abba Shol's comment, is it going on the Resha, or is he going on the Seifa? If he's going on the Resha, he's adding to the Tanakama. In the first section of the Mishnah, which was not dealing with the Beis HaShlochin, in the first section of the Mishnah, the idea of Kenegan HaMashkolos appeared by Chorov Ushikma alone, Lefi the Tanakama. Could be that Abba Shol is coming to add to that and says not only Chorov Ushikma, but all Ilan. On the other hand, it could be that Abba Shol's comment is a comment based on the Seifa, which spoke about a Beis HaShlochin. What was the Tanakama's approach to the Beis HaShlochin? He said all trees, all kinds of trees, even fruit-bearing trees, we apply the Keneged HaMashkolah standard, the straight-up standard. Maybe it's on that Abba Shol comments all Ilan Srak, namely only the barren, the non-fruit-bearing trees, but not all trees. Hence, he would be limiting, a more limited shita than the Tanakama. So if he's on the Resha, he's broader than the Tanakama. If he's on the Seifa, he's more limited than the Tanakama. Ibayalaho, the Gemara asks, Abba Shol, a Resha koi? And he would be saying, all Ilan Srak, and not just Chorov Ushikma, oi, a Seifa koi, or he's going on the Seifa which dealt with the Beis HaShlochin, and as opposed to the Tanakama that said all trees, he's saying only Ilan Srak, and therefore limited. Toshma. So let's take a look at the following source to determine our question. The Sanya. Beis HaShlochin, Abba Shol Omer, Kol Ho Ilan, Keneged HaMashkolas, all trees. When dealing with a Beis HaShlochin, which, by the way, was the topic of the Seifa of the Mishnah, what does Abba Shol say with regard to Beis HaShlochin? All trees. Keneged HaMashkolas. It may shut sail, ra, the Beis HaShlochin, because shade is injurious to the welfare of the plants growing in a Beis HaShlochin. So when dealing with the Beis HaShlochin, what does Abba Shol say? All trees. He doesn't say something about Ilan Srak. All trees. So if you hear Abba Shol make reference to Ilan Srak, he's not talking about Beis HaShlochin. Where did we see Abba Shol talk about Ilan Srak? He said that in the Mishnah. Shma mino aresha koi. Therefore, we must conclude that Abba Shol's comment, where he mentioned Ilan Srak, was going on the Resha, meaning the non-Beis HaShlochin scenario. Shma mino. This is good proof. Omar Rav Ashi, masnisin amidaiko. Careful reading of the Mishnah shows us that he's going on the Resha. And I failed to mention a very significant point, or let's say review a significant point. If Abba Shol is going on the Resha, then he is broader than the Tanakama. What did the Tanakama allow in the Resha? Keneged HaMashkolas? Only two trees, the Chorav Ushikma. Abba Shol allowing for all Ilan Srak. Chorav Ushikma being just two types of Srak. He's allowing all Ilan Srak. So the Rav Ashi points out that the Mishnah shows us, if you read it carefully, that Abba Shol is coming to broaden a particular opinion. Dikotani kol Ilan Srak. This is the expression all Ilan Srak. I amris bishlamo aresha koi. If you say that he's going on the first part of the Mishnah and coming to increase, to expand the realm of the Tanakama, of that which the Tanakama covered, hainu dikotani kol Ilan. Therefore, he uses the inclusive term all Ilan Srak. Elo I amris asefa koi. If, however, you want to say he's going on the Seifa, the Beis HaShlochin section of the Mishnah, and coming to limit, where the Tanakhama had said what? The Tanakhama said all trees, and Abishol's coming along to limit. Elon Srak mi boyale, he should have just said Elon Srak, not Kol Elon. The inclusive word is unnecessary. Elolav Shmamino. We therefore must conclude Aresha Koi Shmamino. That's conclusive. Illustration 451. Elon Shehu Noite Lirishus Harabim. Here we have a tree overshadowing public thoroughfare. Koitzeitz kidei she gomol over v'rochbo. The public is allowed to cut the tree branches to a height allowing a camel and its rider to pass smoothly under it. And this is stated with the following in mind, even though you know that the branches are going to grow back again after time. But that's all they're allowed to cut, not more. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he has a different standard. He says, Gomol to'un pishton ochavile zmoros. The tree branch height that's allowed to be removed is in order to allow a camel laden with flax or bundles of branches that should be able to pass under the tree without interference. Illustration 452, Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol Ha'ilon Keneged Hamashkoiles Ibnei Hatuma. When you're dealing with trees overshadowing Rishus HaRabim, cut the branches, remove the branches all the way up because of Tuma considerations. Tomorrow we'll deal with that later. Before we continue the Gemara, we'll take a look at the note on the outside margin, which also features not only the topic heading, but the explanation of the role of the geometric forms as well. The Nosei Mivneh, you'll notice in the Gemara a house form appearing twice. They are Shtei Deos Beman Tano Debenezikin. Who is the Tana in the realm of Nezikin, tort law? Aslinot Boser Umdeno Dehashta. That you make determinations based on current concerns. Current concerns as opposed to future concerns. I should say maybe more accurately, present concerns. Solve the present problem and be done with it. Meaning, even though in the future the problem might recur, that's not our concern. And we won't have halachic allowances for that either. That's called determining based on umdana dahashto. The Gemara says, Man Tana de Benezikin Vosor Umduno de Hashto Azlinon. Why is the Gemara asking about this? The reason for this is because in the Mishnah we saw such a determination being made. We said in the Mishnah, you cut off the branches to allow a camel and its rider to pass under them. And that's it. Not more than that. What's going to be? Maybe a few weeks later, the branches are going to grow back. But that's not our concern. Solve the problem presently, without necessarily taking into consideration the future. The Gemara, in search of who the author of such an idea is, Omar Reish Lakish, the machlokes shnuya, the Rebbe Eliezer he, that the issue is a machlokes tanoim, and the one who says you look at the present only in terms of solving problems without taking into consideration that the problem will recur, that's Rebbe Eliezer's approach. Disnan. Illustration 453. Ein oisin halal tachas rishus harabim one is not allowed to hollow out an area underneath a public thoroughfare. Boros, shichin, umaoros, all kinds of diggings. Rabbi Eliezer, matir b'chdei shete agolo mehaleches utuuno avonim. Rabbi Eliezer says it's okay to hollow out an area under a public thoroughfare, so long as it will the hollowed area, the street, the road above it, above the hollowed area, will support a cart hauling stones. So you determine how much weight is a cart hauling stones, and if after you've dug out the area under Rishus Rabbim, the cart will pass over now, it'll pass over without caving in, then it's all right. But in the course of time, there will be further erosion. There's all kinds of phenomena that occur causing erosion, subsurface erosion, and though today the cart will go over it, if you leave this as it is, carts going over it day after day, and in the course of time, it'll cave in. We're saying that you leave. This is all you have to take into consideration. That right now, a cart full of stones can pass over the hollowed out area, and that's all right. The Tanakhama was very restrictive. He says you're not allowed to hollow out at all underneath the Rishus Rabbim. So therefore, we see that Rabbi Eliezer is the one that looks at the current situation, and if the current situation is okay, then that's it. We can take a look at Rashi. Ketehe, under the Gemara, the second wide line, Kedei shete agolam aleches im tikrosa, if the ceiling of the hole of the dig out means the tikra of the hole is the floor of the Rishus Rabbim, is where they're walking. Chazaka kol kach, if it's strong enough to hold the agola with the stones, mutter the afagavsha soifa shi isliya v'tifchas, even though in the course of time it'll become eroded through worms, will erode it, and then cave in, that doesn't concern us. That's Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Continuing in the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, he disagrees with Reish Lakish, as you can see from the geometric forms, he stands in opposition to Reish Lakish, because they share the same form, so they're associated with one another. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, afilu temo rabbonan, even the rabbonan of the digging under Rishus HaRabbim that we just saw can be the authors of our Mishnah with the branches. But the rabbonan with the case of the Rishus HaRabbim and the digging out didn't make any allowances because they were concerned about the future erosion. How can they also author our Mishnah that says you don't have to look at the future? You cut the branches, in fact, not don't have to, don't look at the future, and cut only the branches that solve the immediate problem. The Gemara explains there's a fundamental difference. Hasam, in the case of the hollowing out under the Rishus HaRabbim, zimnin de mifchis velavadate, if we allow for hollowing out, it can come to a point where it will cave in and you won't be aware of it. You're not aware of the erosion that's taking place hidden from the eye. That's lavadate. You're not aware of what's going on. Avohocha, in the case of the branches, they will tell you, cut the, we'll call this this minimum amount to allow the camel and rider to pass under it. Kamo kamo kokayetzle, and as it grows back, every increase in branches, you can see it. Cut them off as you need. Hence, you see that there's fundamental difference between the case of the stone, the hollowing out under the Rishus HaRabbim, and the case of the branches. simply stated, the case of the Rishus HaRabim is not visible, and the case of the branches is visible. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Gomol Ta'un Pishton O Chavilei Zmoros. He gave a different standard. Ibayalaho, Shiura de Rebbe Yehuda Nofish, is the dimension Rabbi Yehuda gave of Gomol Ta'un Pishton, greater in height. Odilma Shiura de Rabbona Nofish. Or maybe their Shiur of Gomol Verochbo is greater. Pshita, the Gemara answers, the Shiura de Rabbona Nofish. That the shear that they allow for is greater, namely includes Gomol Ta'un Pishton. In other words, if you cut off a height allowing Gomol and rider to pass under smoothly, then certainly the camel loaded with its package will be able to pass smoothly. Dei Salka Daitoch Shi'ura de Rabbi Yehuda Nofish. If you were to think that the camel with its package is a greater height, Rabbonon, that allowed for less, according to this Havamina, the Rabbonon that allowed for less, namely, they said Gomol V'Rochbo, according to the Havamina, B'Shi'uro de Rebbe Yehuda Hechi Avdi, what will they do, what will the Rabbonon who allowed for less do when a camel carrying a package passes under? Therefore, what must we conclude? That the Rabbanan's shiur of camel gomel verochbo not only allows for a camel and the rider to pass under smoothly, but it certainly will allow for a camel and a package to pass under smoothly. Therefore, no problems. V'elomai. So, let's take account of what we just said. Shi'ura de Rabbona Nofish. Are you suggesting that, with certainty, that the camel and rider is a greater height? Well, I'm going to ask you a similar question back. Rebbe Yehuda, who allows for less, namely, cut off a height of branches, allowing only for camel with its package. B'shi'uro de Rabbonon my Ovid, what will Rabbi Yehuda do when a camel and its rider is to pass under? Rabbi Yehuda, once again, allowing, according to what we wanted to conclude, allowing less. So he allows for camel with package to pass under. But that's less than the height of camel with rider. So you can just imagine a rather tragic scenario of camel with rider trying to pass under the branches and the branch severing his head from his body. The Gemara answers, no, I'm not worried about that. I'm going to in fact allow the lesser amount, the camel with its package. And you'll ask me, what's a camel and its rider going to do? Efshir degochin v'choluf to say, he can bend over, bend down, and pass under. Rabbi Shimon Omer kol ho'ilon kenegen amashkoles mipnei hatuma. Rabbi Shimon's halacha was that trees overshadowing Rishus HaRabim, the branches overshadowing are cut off completely all the way up because of tuma considerations. Tana, a brisa says, mipnei oihel hatuma, because of the problem called overshadowing, whereby you have a branch, and under the branch there may be a piece of mace, and under the same branch there passes a person who wants to remain tahor. If you have under the branch at the same time the piece of mace and the person passing under, he will become tamei. That's called oyel atuma. So we have this brisa. The Gemara asks, what do I need the brisa for? Pshita, Mipnei hatuma tnan. The Mishnah itself already said mipnei hatuma. What does the Braisa add? The Gemara answers, E mimas nisin. If I had just the words of the Mishnah that said mipnei hatuma, hava amina, I would have thought that our concern is the following, that our whole concern is this. Illustration 454. Hava amina, dilma maisi oirev tuma, that an orev bird might come and bring a piece of tomei substance, the shodi hasam, and place it on the branch work, on the dense branch work, which would serve to support the piece of tuma. And my concern would be that if you're dealing with tumas mace, someone will pass under that point over which is the tuma, the piece of mace, being supported by the branches, and thereby become tomei. In order to solve that problem, ubidichaluli be'almosagi, and by thinning out the branch work, I would solve that problem. If I have thin branch work, there won't be an opportunity for the tuma to be supported overhead by anything. It's just thin branches. The thing, anything dropped on that will just fall off. Komash malon, the Braisa, with illustration 456, informs us that that's not our only concern. But we're additionally concerned with the phenomenon of a branch overshadowing myself and a piece of tuma on the floor. So that even though the branch work might have been very thin, but the singular branch that's currently overshadowing itself presents a problem. This form of oyel atuma. Therefore, the only solution is get rid of all of the branches, and hence I won't have a tuma problem. Hadron olech lo yachbor b'li neder. With this, we conclude the second perek of Bava Basra and our shiur for today.